Welcome back to the Creator Spotlight Podcast. This is our eighth episode, and today's guest is Jared Deshevsky, the creator of Healthcare Huddle, a newsletter for physicians and other healthcare professionals. He's been running the newsletter since 2019, and since then has built a team of 13, been acquired, let that team go, graduated med school, become a resident physician, and left the company that acquired him to go independent again. So today it's just him sending his newsletter twice per week to 30,000 subscribers, all on top of working 70-hour weeks as a resident physician. We spent an hour talking about how he built the newsletter to where it is today and everything he's learned in the process. As always, thank you for listening and enjoy. So tell me, who is Jared Deshevsky and what is Healthcare Huddle?
I haven't answered this question since my residency interviews, but Jared Deshevsky is a current physician resident in New York City. He's also what I like to call like a medical entrepreneur, someone who's interested in like the medicine of healthcare, but also in how the healthcare system runs and how broken it is and how we can fix it. And Healthcare Huddle is a weekly, actually now bi-weekly, healthcare newsletter breaking down healthcare trends, inefficiencies for 30,000 health professionals. And I've been kicking it off every week since, honestly, December of 2019. And I don't think I've missed a week.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, I mean, when you started, you were still in med school, right? I think it was your first year of med school, actually. That's kind of crazy. Like med school, you know, famously a tough, difficult, hard thing. And then you choose to do this on top of it. You clearly really like to do it. You've been doing it for 4 years. Why do you do this to yourself and like be a creator on top of also being like, you know, becoming a doctor and everything else in your life, I'm sure, besides your work?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Well, for one, I love creating content. At first, it was really for me to like really stay up to date on healthcare and like force myself to read. And the best way I understand and learn is basically by reading and then like writing it down in my own words. And I pride myself on efficiency, and I try to bring that to my writing, where I write in the most efficient way possible because physicians are busy. They don't have time to really sit down and read a whole, you know, 2,000, 5,000 word deep dive. So I basically make it more succinct. And I've gotten so much joy from writing this type of content in this type of manner. And I've learned so much that at this point, I'm like, I don't think I can stop. And someone once told me that the way you know if you've built a loyal audience is if they would notice that your content stopped if you just stopped writing. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think in the beginning, when Healthcare Huddle first started, when it was a weekly newsletter, like I could maybe not send for 2 weeks and people I don't think would notice. But now if I didn't send a Sunday, what I call the Sunday huddle, I think people would be like, hey, are you okay? So at this point, I don't think there's any turning back, and I'm too afraid to stop, but I also love doing it.
Yeah. I like that you said it's like, at first it was about like learning and kind of organizing your thoughts. I've talked to a lot of people who say the same thing. Another person I talked to, Casey Lewis, who has this like youth trends newsletter. And she was like, I was consuming all this content and I started a newsletter because I didn't want to go in one ear out the other. And like, I wanted to have it down and like absorb it somehow. For you, it sounds like it's the same thing. Like when you're a student, like trying to understand like this world, and like, that was like your way of doing that, right? Like crystallizing all this stuff you were intaking. And that is in it. Is it still that, like just your way of kind of like navigating and understanding the healthcare world?
100%. And like, I've been running for 4 years in healthcare. I have a master's degree in healthcare systems engineering. And to this day, like there's still things I do not understand about this healthcare system. And it's just going to require me to keep writing on it, keep like diving deep into it. And it's very gratifying, because if I were to videotape my whole writing process from start to finish, which is something I'm like thinking about doing, like live streaming. Like it starts off as a mess, right? Like there's all this data, this information, but as soon as I have a topic in mind, I already know how it's going to be structured, right? Like I can already tell you like what the first section is going to be, what the second section is going to be, what the third section is going to be, and what I'll discuss in each. And I think that's just developed over the past 4 years, which makes my writing content so efficient, and it really doesn't take that long for me to just crank out content.
How many years did it take for you to get to that stage of like, you know, you can just hit the ground running and spit it out?
I would probably say two and a half to three years was the point where I wouldn't stress about writing anymore. That as soon as I had an idea in mind, I could just like write down my outline, and that's all I needed. When I first started Healthcare Huddle, we'll get into like the inception, but I remember going to like a coffee shop and thinking to myself, am I going to be doing this every single week for like an indefinite period of time? Like, am I really going to be stressing about writing a newsletter? And now I'm still writing, but I'm not as stressed.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I feel like, I don't know, just when I was looking you up, like you're like a lifelong like runner athlete. I feel you're somebody, and you know, going to med school in the first place, you're somebody who like wants and thrives on that kind of pressure. I kind of get the impression.
No, that's a perfect analysis.
Yeah. So before we go and like tell all the story of like between then and now, can you share some of the stats about like where it is now? Like how many subscribers are there? Open rate, click rate, just the standard, like,
yeah,
what's the newsletter health now?
Yeah, the newsletter health. So around 30,000 subscribers, mainly health professionals. Luckily, from day one, we started like collecting data from the subscribers. And this was also, I was subscribed to Jacob Donnelly's newsletter. He's like the media operator.
And
he's
He's
like, the one thing I regret is not collecting data from my audience. I'm like, weren't noted. So I started collecting data. So a lot of, at first, it was a lot of medical students because that was who I was targeting. Now it's mainly like decision makers in healthcare, like physicians, healthcare executives, presidents. Open rate has like consistently been above 50. I think it's like 52%. And it's been that way since the start, which is great. Definitely above average. Click rate, things like 2.5%, something I'm trying to work on and boost up. But overall, that's the general health. And again, every week this newsletter goes out.
Yeah, without fail. Is there any other metrics you track? Like, you know, ones you've made up, like, I don't know, monthly active clickers or whatever, anything else?
Yeah, so I guess it's a plug for Beehive. But like for Beehive, you could like make segments on your audience. And so the one segment that I really keep track of is like my true huddlers. So like I call my huddle audience huddlers. And the true huddlers, the metrics are like open rate above 85%, click rate above maybe 1%, at least one referral, like upgraded to Huddle Plus, my premium. So like, I think it's a bunch of OR metrics, but basically like, I just want to know like who are the people who are reading this consistently, who are engaging in my newsletter, who are paying for the newsletter. And I think there's like 13,000. So I kind of like 40, 50% of the audience.
That's huge.
And yeah, it's great. And over the next months, I'm really going to try to like leverage this population, and we can talk about that later.
You have 13,000 people on premium?
Oh, no.
That's okay. Like, the true huddlers.
How many? Not there yet.
Do you mind sharing how many people you have on premium?
Yeah, right now I have like 60 people on premium. And my goal actually at the end of Q1 was at 15.
Okay, wow.
Quadrupled the goal. Because I really haven't... Well, we can talk about it, but
yeah,
it's just been passive, the premium version right now. Really no active target marketing.
Okay, yeah. So we'll get back to the premium stuff in a bit then. So I see like really three, I guess four chapters to the life of Healthcare Huddle, right? Chapter one is like first year, you're just kind of figuring it out. It's this morning brew thing, it's students. You build this team of like 13 interns, student, like, you know, writers, et cetera. It's your brother, Harrison Kaplan. And then there's kind of year two, which is when what's his name, Adam from Workweek comes in and starts kind of advising you. And then there's like years three and four, a little bit into year two and three and then four, which is the Workweek years. And then there's now, which is like post Workweek era. It's been like 6 months. So I want to walk through all those. But to start, like, so you back in the beginning, chapter one, you said you just started it. You kind of had impeccable timing, I bet, with like right before COVID, kind of a great time to start a newsletter, a really accessible newsletter about healthcare. So chapter one, year one, tell me about like how you grew then and how you got from like just the three of you. It's your idea, your brother and your friend come in, and then it starts growing.
Yeah. So we launched this newsletter. I think there was only one other newsletter, like big healthcare newsletter at the time, which was Blake Madden's Healthy Muse, who's also part of Workweek. So then it was just us. And again, pandemic hit, and all of a sudden, like, started like, growing like 100 subscribers per week. And I'm like, whoa, I don't even know like 100 people. And it's just,
where was that coming from? Like referrals?
I wasn't tracking referrals at the time, but just like growing, like people were just coming. And because once there was talk about like, oh, this virus and coming from Wuhan, China, and people wanted someone on the inside to like share what's going on, like, what are you noticing in medical school, whatever. And So I guess I was like some trustworthiness, like, oh, he's a medical student, like he must be truthful, which I am. So it started growing. And then people started reaching out to me, be like, hey, can I join your team? Like, I'm a college student, like would love to join your team and write. And I'm like, team? Like, it's just me writing. Like, I'm just like trying to bootstrap this. And so I'm like, sure, come on, like help me out. And so I basically over the next like several months, just started like adding like interns to the team to help write content. And then I could take a step back and basically like figure out how to grow Healthcare Huddle, how to like start a referral program. What other like products do I want to launch? And it was so much fun. Like we had like one team just cranking out social media content, making beautiful designs on social media. Again, making it look like we've been in the game for like years. Like we knew what we were doing. It was great. And then for the newsletter, like, we had such a process, right? Like we had a whole, it was like a supply chain of content, like starting from like, what are we writing about this week? People start writing. We had a whole like review process, drafting process. And then like, I would put it all together at the end of the week and publish it. And it was very fun. Then we launched like a referral program towards the end of like the first year. And I vividly remember reading Tyler's, I think he had a Medium post on like how he grew Morning Brew through the referral program. And I remember being on a plane going to Houston to see my wife's family. And I'm just like, I'm literally, my mouth is watering. I'm like, he's giving us the recipe. And again, Harrison just coded a referral program and it was great. We like funded it, like got mugs, shirts, you name it. And it was fantastic. Definitely, I think like 1,000+, which was good for us, right? Within 1 year and basically very low cost. I think the same year, again, Morning Brew had this like ambassador, this college ambassador program. And we were just like, let's do this. Like, let's just launch it. So like our team and I like got down and thought like, if you were a college student, a lot of them were, like, what would you want from this ambassador program? They told us what they wanted. Like they wanted to learn about healthcare, make it personalized. And so maybe in like August of 2020, when everyone was home, colleges like weren't, students weren't on campus, everything was remote. We launched like the Huddle Ambassador program. And we had like students from all over the United States apply. It was truly impressive. Again, just a couple months in, and people from Canada universities, from you know Harvard, from UCLA, like literally all across America wanted to be part of this program. And it was great. Like they referred people, like we gave them rewards. I hosted like biweekly or weekly chats. We called them like Huddle chats, teaching about healthcare, having guests on, having like career panels. It was amazing. And because wait, these colleges,
real quick. So how are they, how are you reaching out to them? How are you finding them? Was it like you were on Instagram?
Huh? Yeah. We posted on Instagram and we posted like a Google form and all these people started applying and I'm just like, accept. Like this is great. Yeah. And literally this is like the Morning Brew playbook. And we got lucky because it was the pandemic and these college students weren't doing anything. They had nothing better to do at the time. They weren't going out drinking on nights. They were helping Healthcare Huddle. And our growth was great. We must have gained like 2,000+ from their referrals and fantastic. And then so the Huddle Ambassador program came and went. Then we went into like year two. Year two was 20.
So by the end of the first year, yeah. I think I read you were at like 10,000, right?
No. At the end of the first year, I think it was like 4,000.
Okay.
Maybe. Because then before we got acquired by Workweek, I think we had like 8,000. Yeah, so we finished year one and had about 4,000 people, basically all organic. Like there was zero paid growth, unless like you count like the referral mugs that we bought, but it really didn't do anything paid.
Wow. That's amazing. So okay, so then it's like kind of you're operating in this way, just referral program, winging it. You've got the team, and then I think it's March of 2021 where Adam Ryan DMs you and is like, yeah, hey, you're doing it wrong. Let me help you out. And then,
yeah. So Adam,
and then, yeah.
Yeah. So Adam like DMs me. Well, first he tweeted like a week before saying like the DMs and Twitter are like a magical place. Like if you don't answer your DMs, like you're missing out. Like you don't know what big things could be there. And like, I'm like noted again, writing down like all these like noteworthy people in media. And then he DM'd me. He's like, hey, love what you're doing with Healthcare Huddle. Would love to chat. Then like he came on as an advisor. I'm like, tell us what to do. So he like guided us for a couple months. And then I guess in over the summer, like he chatted with me, was like, hey, I'm building this media company called Workweek. You could think of them as like a record label where they just want you to sing and create content, and they will do all the other stuff in the background, the marketing, the ad sales, the growth, you name it. And I said, honestly, sounds great, because like I'm not dropping out of medical school to build a media company. Like I want to be a doctor. Like that's why I'm here. My brother Brett, he was at Capital One at this point, and he said, I'm not like quitting Capital One to do this if no one else is quitting. And then Harrison, he's gonna be a surgeon. Like he's like, I'm gonna be a surgeon.
I'm out already. Like
yeah, he's like, I'm not doing it. And so we thought about it and like really deliberated over it for like a couple months. And then Adam was like, and I also just want you to be the one writing the content. At the time, like I was still writing, but I had other people like helping me out. And I'm like, all right, so I'll just be the one writing the content. And up at that point, like I've always had help. So I'm like, how am I going to do this every week, right? Like what's my process going to be? And that's the one like I really had to nail down, like my content creation process, which we can talk about later. And then in November of 2021, we like ended up going through with like an acquisition of Healthcare Huddle to Workweek. And my brother, he ended up quitting his job at Capital One and joining Workweek to work there. And now I was just going to write content full time.
Did you like tell like all the team, your interns, your writers, et cetera, like, sorry, you guys, it's over? Or yeah, what was that like?
Yeah. So I called everyone up individually, which was a great learning experience, right? They weren't technically fired, but we were like parting ways. So I called them up. A lot of them were like so excited for Healthcare Huddle. Mm-hmm. And again, they were like part-time.
It was very like learning experience thing.
Exactly. And I was thinking about Healthcare Huddle 24/7. Like when I woke up, I was checking this data. And I like going to sleep, it was kind of pathologic, but you have to be that way. So basically parted ways with everyone. And it was really just me and my brother, Brett. Like Brett now working at Workweek. Me just doing part-time medical school and this and cranking out content. And then we move on to like the Workweek saga.
Mm-hmm. So with Workweek, it's like, I imagine in the middle, like it's all kind of like at the beginning, they kind of ironed everything out for you. And then you were just writing and they were, you know, like you said, they were doing the growth, the kind of the marketing bits, et cetera. We can get into like more deeper bits there if there's anything you want to bring up. But what I'm interested in too is like, I that record label thing is good. And I think like, I don't know, I think like there's kind of a Venn diagram for all creators where like you start either in like, you're creative and you've got that energy or that desire, that skill, which I think you were kind of more in that tank. And then there's like the business / marketing side, and like whichever one you start in, you have to come to the middle. And like, that's kind of what the zone of expertise or whatever they call it. Like, it sounds like you were very much the creative and then your brother was kind of the business guy. And then Workweek kind of just like was really the business side and like just put you in there and then everything was working. And I think like with any creator, you either have to upskill to the other side or partner with somebody who has the other side. So with this in particular, it's like a really extreme version where it's like, instead of just having your brother come in and do it, it's like, here's the expert, but you're giving something away. And I'm curious, like as much as you can talk about it, like what you gave and what was taken and what was given kind of in this partnership.
Yeah. Yeah. So I will add that during the first year or two of Healthcare, like we made like some ad sales. I was like trying to learn the business side at the time, but it's tough, right? Cause you really do need a core focus. Mm-hmm. And I tried to do it all. And my brother Brett used to say like part-time effort is part-time results, right? So like giving a part-time effort in each little category, you know, part-time results. So like Workweek came along, truly like the business powerhouse. Now I'm at Workweek. I'm writing content by myself. I'm loving it. I'm doing it efficiently. Like people are loving it. And I'm like, you know, I can actually continue doing this. It's not as hard as I thought it would be.
Especially once you get rid of like managing a team, right?
Yeah. Now my core focus is just creating content. I can do this. And so I went up to Adam and I'm like, hey, can I actually stick around? Like I want to keep doing this. And he's like, oh yeah, this is great. Like, but we thought you wanted to leave. I'm like, well, I did, but now I'm fine. And Healthcare Huddle just grew. Feedback was phenomenal. And I was like building myself up as a creator and like building my own like trustworthiness. And I think that was one of like the best things about Workweek. They created like a trustworthy brand and had such a strong mission of like helping the creators grow. And I truly felt like from the start of Workweek to the end, like I grew so much as a creator. I felt confident in my takes. Like, I was taking risks with some of my takes. I like knew how to organize my thoughts, knew how to deliver content. And it was, I loved it. It was really, really great.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're saying like most of the growth in that time, and you were like at 8,000 when you went in, most of the growth was just paid advertising. That was the main thing.
Yeah. I think it was definitely a mix of paid and organic. Mm. Like the organic came in from like other people joining other newsletters. And again, like a pop-up would come up. Like, do you also want to join Healthcare Huddle? Healthcare Huddle was XYZ for the physician. Boom. People subscribe. And it grew very quickly and very nicely.
So why did you leave in November? What's the story there?
Yeah. So the story is that residency is a little tough. So like working 78 hours per week in the hospital and basically doing work week stuff. Like, there was so much more like we wanted to do with Healthcare Huddle, and I couldn't do it.
Yeah, and there was like certain like contractual obligations or that you had to fulfill, basically.
Yeah, and also I wanted to do so much with Healthcare Huddle that I just didn't. It just wouldn't work out to continue to be with work week paying me and like me not like fulfilling those obligations exactly.
I've been curious. Was it you were acquired, but then when I saw that like you joined and then left, I was like, and then the record label. Analogy, I was like, was it more like you signed like a recording contract for like certain amount of years or certain amount of issues?
So it was like a 2-year contract, I think. Okay. So like that was just about 2 years. And like I kind of knew all, like I didn't know what to expect in residency, right? Because like, you hear about
a lot of hard residency, work.
you hear like all these people are like, you know, all they do is eat, sleep, and like shit in the hospital, and that's honestly that is what you do. So I was like, kind of nervous going in. And I actually like, planned my content weeks in advance, like just to make sure I can keep up with like, again, I did not want to miss a newsletter. Like I was like sending out every week. And so it was a very cordial, like parting ways. Like I got my audience back, got Healthcare Huddle back. And basically Adam was like, I'm here to support you in any way. Just let me know. And so like, I guess that starts like phase four of chapter four.
Okay. So the one thing I'm still not clear on is the pay structure, basically. So like it wasn't exactly an acquisition, it was a signing, and then like they were just taking like a percentage of any income. Like how did the
ad sales
and just a percentage of that?
Yeah, like so they had someone, they hired someone to do ads for like partner, like head of partnerships for healthcare, and I could not do that it solo. Like there's no way I could take the time to like call people, like build relationships. So they took care of all of it, and they made ad sales, and I was just happy to be making like the company money. I was like, thank God. Like I didn't want to be the one who wasn't making ad sales. So that was the structure.
Okay.
And then now I think they announced like they're moving more into like a community based themes. It's like Blake Madden, who does hospitality, the other healthcare writers, like starting this whole community. So I think the business model is like shifting.
Okay, cool. Obviously, it was really beneficial for you to do this because you really like the creative side, but you didn't really have time or like need or as much of the interest to do the rest of it. Would you recommend to like, is there a type of creator that like should seek out a relationship like this or like should hire, like, you know, like invest in hiring like a separate person to like handle the business or marketing? Like who should look for that and who shouldn't?
Yeah, I think people who definitely aren't full-time creating content should look into like having resources fill in like the gaps that you have. Mm-hmm. Right. So it was great for me. Like, and at work week, like I got to see like what all these knowledgeable people were doing, how they talked about media, how they like handled the business of media. And like, I'm taking notes. I'm like, this is great. But if I were doing Healthcare Huddle full time, right. If in a hypothetical world, in another parallel universe where Brett Harris and I all dropped out of what we were doing and focused on Healthcare Huddle, I think it could have been something completely different. Mm-hmm. Right. Cause like we would have totally double down on like ad sales, created like a whole community. Like I think it would have been much different. We just didn't have the bandwidth to do it or the knowledge. So like work week totally helped fill in the gaps that I had.
Your premium model probably started after you left work week, right? And you're like, okay, now I have to figure, I don't have time to do all these ad sales. You do still have some ads and like these like sponsored deep dives, I see.
Yeah, yeah.
But premium, you have there's three things on there. It's the inefficiency insights, the monthly trend reports, and then there's this kind of in development thing. Huddle You, yeah, which seems like a throwback to like what you were doing actually in the really early days. So yeah, so tell me about your thinking behind launching the premium and like what the process has been like converting people and like developing that as a product.
So as soon as like I parted ways with Workweek, I'm not sure if this is a personality thing or like coming from like an athlete side, but like I didn't take it as a loss, but I'm like, all right, now it's going to be a new chapter. Mm-hmm. And like it energized me so much. I'm like, what do I want to do? And I've always wanted to create like a premium version of the content. I mean, now I'm a physician, so I have like even more leverage delivering more value because now I'm literally on the inside treating patients. But I started Inefficiency Insights back in July of 2023. And I was just keeping track of all the inefficiencies I came across in healthcare. And I just like did like a root cause analysis, impact. I was basically analyzing it. Something you would pay like consultants to do, or like you would hire someone in the hospital to like do that. And then I've always wanted to create like an educational platform, like Huddle Ambassador program was kind of that. We called it Huddle U. So like I have all these Huddle U stickers. And that's what the next thing I'm working on is going to be. But basically, my thought was, okay, I don't really have so much time to be reaching out to add partners and like building relationships. But one thing I can do, and one thing I know I do well, is delivering valuable content. Mm-hmm. Like that is the one thing that's in my control, is I can consistently deliver content every Sunday, every Thursday within Inefficiency Insights. I could build this Huddle U program, and it's all in my control. And I know it's valuable. And so building a premium membership that's all within my control, and it gives me the confidence, like I know this is going to be good, seemed like a much better outlet than just continuing with like a free Healthcare Huddle newsletter and, you know, spending my days after the hospital, like trying to build relationships with ad partners. And so I think early February, right? So from like December to February, December and January, I just tried figuring out like, how am I going to make money? What I'm going to do, I started teasing Huddle Plus, started building a wait list to see like who would be interested. And then February 2nd, I think, I basically just like sent an email saying, hey, just letting you know, I launched a premium membership called Huddle Plus. You could join. It's just an additional newsletter every Thursday and then like a monthly report. So like if you're in consulting, if you're in venture capital and you want to know what the key trends are with like a very deep analysis, sign up. I know I've learned over the years to don't overestimate the your conversions, right? Like expect the minimal. So I'm like, all right, by the end of Q1, so from like February, from all February and March, it's like, I just want 15 people to sign up. That's it.
Really, a really like, very reasonable goal.
Yeah. I'm like, I just want someone to sign up, 15. And then at the end of Q1, I end up having, I think like 35 people paying subscribers. I'm like, you're paying for my content. That is so motivating. And again, I only sent one email about Huddle Plus, my premium subscription.
And it's a pretty expensive premium subscription too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it makes sense for what it is and like the industry, et cetera, but like $30 per month, right?
$30 a month, 300 a year, which is like a 20% discount. But yeah, it is valuable. It takes time to write, and I'm a physician now, so I'm like, this is premium. Like it's been 4 years since I've written Healthcare Huddle. Like this is now premium level content.
Yeah. Well, which what it is too is like another person I talked to recently who has this like Youth Trends newsletter. I was describing hers as like, it's like a one to many consultancy. Like that's what your model is too.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I'm on the
you
inside.
You can steal
like,
that.
Yeah. There's no one. We can talk about like the other newsletters in the space, but there's no other healthcare creator who is a physician who is pumping out the amount of content that I'm pumping out. And it's not like low quality, it's like high quality content. So I'm like, I'm the only one there. So this is valuable and we're priced at this. Before it was higher, then I got feedback because I tested with an audience and like, we're not going to pay this.
What was it?
30. Yeah, it was like $50 a month. And they're like, I'm not paying this much. I'm like, okay. So I lower it down. And even people will email me saying, I can't justify $30 a month. I'm like, fine. Like, I will give you the discount I give to residents, which is like 20% discount, 30% discount. So now it goes like to $25, and then they buy it. I'm like, what's $5 a month? So like, people are willing to spend the money. So now I have like affirmation, like, okay, this can be a successful model.
Yeah. Actually, wait, I'm curious. Unlike a, I don't know, because you're like, again, as we've discussed, you're somebody who just gets so much satisfaction around doing this and creating this stuff. Is there like a different feeling or like, yeah, a different vibe to you just to doing it this way, as opposed to it being this ad supported thing where now it's like people are paying for your content as opposed to like, you know, ads? Is there something different about doing that for you, like in the way it feels to be a creator?
Yeah, I think it's much more gratifying knowing I'm being paid to deliver high quality content to you. Like, this is, again, totally within my control. I'm using my brain, and like, you're reading my thoughts and my analysis, and like, you're getting like value from it. Versus like ads are great, but I always have this like cognitive dissonance that like, I can't promise you that this is going to be a successful like ad placement, right? Like, if I'm a man of data, like, really, we need to talk about like averages, right? Like, in order for me, like, I could promise that if you buy 10 ad placements, that I could predict what the open rates will be for each newsletter, what the click rates will be for your ad. But if you buy one slot, like, I can't promise you it's going to knock it out of the park. And I don't like that feeling.
Yeah.
Because I can't promise you I can deliver value for this ad. But for Huddle Plus, I can promise you that I'm delivering high quality content. And that is a much better feeling than having to like do ad sales.
That makes sense. No, I like that. That's I hadn't really thought about that before, but that's really nice. But I do want to ask, like, what's the cap you think on your concept in terms of subscriber count, in terms of revenue, in terms of output? Like, which, because everything's limited in, you know, startup world, media in with newsletters too, people are like, oh, this audience could be millions. It's like, but that's not true. Almost nobody's audience is even gonna, like, even Morning Brew is, I think, is like 4 million or something, and that's like huge. So my question is, what's the cap on Healthcare Huddle in terms of subscriber count, revenue, and output?
Yeah, I'm very happy you asked that, because one of my goals for 2024 is not to grow subscribers, but is to focus on like the true huddlers segment and figuring out how best to deliver high value content to them and try to convert them to the premium membership. So my main goal for 2024 is to figure out how can I build Huddle Plus and like increase revenue for me, versus like how can I grow like an additional like 10,000 subscribers, which is tough because people always talk about, like, oh, how big is your audience? How big is your audience? How big is your audience? And your audience can be huge, but if you know if your open rate is 20% and your click rate is 1%, like that's not really an engaged audience. And so I'm trying to ignore like the subscriber growth and really focus on like, am I hitting my growth goals for like Huddle Plus? And again, I quadrupled the goal for Q1. Q2, my goal is like to get 60 total, which I'm almost at, and we just started. So, you know, like I'm underestimating what I want to do, but I hope to convert at least 1% of my entire audience to Huddle Plus by the end of the year.
Yeah.
And again, 1% is low conversion, sure. But for me, that's a lot of revenue that I'm making running a newsletter twice per week, delivering content while in medical school or residency.
Yeah. Still getting used to it.
Yeah, still getting used to it. But and then something I'm like trying to grapple with is like being content like with what I have. Like I don't need to make millions. I don't need to have an audience of 100,000. Like I just want to be content writing weekly analyses on healthcare, getting feedback from others, educating others, and like creating this like Huddle Plus membership. And I just want to be content with that and hitting my goals.
I really like that.
Which is tough.
Yeah, but you're already like, I mean, you're in a career that is like already going to give you a great living. Like you don't need to like turn this into like a multi-million dollar media business. It just needs to be like something that makes you happy and like is this, again, a source for learning and like a creative outlet in your life, which like, I think, I mean, not everyone has that luxury of like, you know, being in the medical industry, but like, I think that should be, in my opinion, the first thing for anybody who like is working on a newsletter or whatever it is. Like you have to like enjoy doing it. It has to give you, like, I think the reasons people do it are like money, self-actualization, and then like just creative outlet. And those are kind of like the three, which those second two kind of align a bit, but I think you're going to be more successful in the long term if you're just chasing that like creative outlet and like self-actualization.
No, exactly. Yeah. So that's like that's been my mentality. And it's tough because you see people tweeting like, oh, like everyone who's using Beehive now is like screenshotting their graph going up. But mine's going down. Like I'm not losing. Mm-hmm. I think I'm like losing like the low value people in my audience by pumping out like now more content.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm convert for like every 20 people, 30 people who leave, there's one person who upgrades.
Yeah.
And that's great. I'm like, I would take that deal like any day of the week.
No, the guy too, who I'm writing about for this week's newsletter that comes out on Friday, this guy, Ryan Snedden, he has a local newsletter for Annapolis, Maryland. He's been doing it for a little bit longer than you have. He has 18,000 subscribers, which is about half the town. And he made $200,000 in revenue last year. So it's like, again, wow. Subscriber count doesn't matter so much. Like it does, but like what matters is actually like who your audience is, you knowing who they are and understanding what they want and what they're like, what you are giving them and what they're willing to give you in return. And then just like that's, and knowing how to monetize that relationship. Like it's not about, I mean, you can do the like large, I'm going to say like you can't do the large scale, like millions of subscribers, things like a few people can, but like not everyone is Morning Brew. Not everyone is The Hustle. That's like a one in a million thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so like I talked about in the beginning, like my true hudlers, right? Like those are the people like I wanted to identify like who of these people are like is upgrading. It's like consistently reading my content. My goal for 2024 is to focus on this segment, which I think is good. So we'll see.
Okay, next question. Again, this guy I brought up earlier, Andrew Huang, who was this like musician, YouTuber, big YouTuber. And actually, I'd found him when I was like looking up books on like being a creator, the creator economy. There's very few, but he had just written one and it was good. And one of the things he says in it is like, you know, now he has like a ton of gear. He's a musician, big YouTube creator, does commissions, whatever. He said like, I wish even before I'd bought all this gear that I'd hired more people. He has a team of like six for business management, social and stuff. That was his big thing. He's like, I wish I'd hired earlier. I would like urge any creator to hire earlier. And so I was thinking about that when I was looking into your background, like you hired very early and now it's just you. And I believe Brett, your brother, was like still kind of helping you out. I mean, on LinkedIn, it says he was working with you until January. Yeah. I don't know if that's true. But so for you, it's the opposite where you did hire earlier and it helped you. So my question is like, do you agree with that? Like it's good to hire earlier. And then on the flip side, do you think you'll ever hire again for this?
Looking back, and I talked to Brett a lot about this, I think it was a great learning experience for myself to, you know, start building a team, like just for life. Like I learned how to manage a team, how to deal with like grievances, how to think about growth, like how to like delegate tasks. But then like when I joined Workweek and I'm like now doing the newsletter content alone, I'm like, oh, did I need people helping me out early on to like write this type of content? And then when I left Workweek, and now I'm doing two newsletters per week and, you know, growing this Hudl Plus program and doing ad sales, I'm like, oh, did I need to build like a whole team from the get-go just to do this? Like if I'm doing it all myself, I think the lessons I learned from doing it have allowed me to get to where I am today. So like if I didn't do it at first, who knows where I would be, but I'm not sure if I had to do it again, I would go that route. I think it's important to figure out yourself first. In my master's program, the one lesson that I remember is that if there is an inefficiency, do not add more resources to address the inefficiency right away, right? It's like, if something's too slow, don't add another person to make it faster. Figure out why it's slow, which is what I do in my Inefficiency Insights newsletter. I do a root cause analysis. So figure out why it's slow, address that inefficiency and streamline it. And so like, I think I added too many resources because I wasn't efficient yet with writing the Hudl early on. So I needed people to help me out so I could focus on the business. But now I'm at the point where, again, like it's clockwork. It's like working out to write the healthcare Hudl. So like, I don't need someone else helping me. I think as Hudl Plus grows and I make more revenue, I could like hire another intern to maybe, you know, I focus on getting like ad sales, like trying to find a partner, and you get commission for it. I think that'd be a great way for me to delegate a task that I mean, I like building relationships, but I have no, it's not a priority for me. Yeah. Again, which is why I want to double down on the Huddle Plus because I know I can deliver value. It's in my control.
So 4 years in, are you still doing this 4 years from now? And if so, like, what does it look like? Because it's obviously changed a lot in 4 years.
If I stopped Healthcare Huddle right now, people would notice. And again, it's something I love doing. It is so ingrained in my workflow. It doesn't stress me out anymore to like produce a newsletter. Like, it just gets done. Right. And I think I can continue doing this for the next couple years. I think my reputation will only increase, like, as a physician, especially when I finish residency, then I go to fellowship and I finish fellowship. And now, like, I'm an actual attending. And hopefully by the time I'm practicing on my own, I have way more than this goal of like 300 people in the Huddle Plus community. There's a whole educational platform. I want to like relaunch like this concepts platform that I started early on. So there's a lot I want to do with Healthcare Huddle, and it is fun creating. It is so much fun creating content. I'm learning a lot. I'm networking a lot, and now I'm like being paid to produce, which is like even better. Like, you're being paid to do something you love, and I'm being paid to do something I love in my primary job, which is medicine. Like, so I can't complain. Like,
life's great for
you. I love it. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, no, well, yeah, that's awesome. It sounds like you're like, it's like this fire that you're just stoking for like in the future, maybe, you know, turn it into a bonfire. And it is this like bigger media company again, and education, et cetera, but like the point is just to keep it going, which also reminds me of another person I talked to who was like a founder doing a newsletter who was like a building in public type of thing. And she was also an athlete, like a track and field type of athlete. And so I think that like that kind of athlete mentality, and it's like there's no failure, only learning, is like so necessary to be a creator. And like whether or not you are an athlete, you learn to do that. And it's just also something that being an athlete teaches you, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think being an athlete, since child, like you learn resilience, mm-hmm. right? So like something bad happens, you don't sit around and cry. It like motivates you to figure out what went wrong and like how can you be better. Like, it should motivate you. It's like a lesson learned. Mm-hmm. It's like Healthcare Huddle hasn't been sunshine and rainbows. Like, there's been times I'm like, shit, like this doesn't look too good. Like, this newsletter wasn't real well received, but like you iterate, mm-hmm. and like next week is a new week, right? So like last week open rate wasn't good. New week this week. So like we'll go from there, right? Like iterating with ads, and it's just fun. And yeah, the athlete's mentality just to like be better. Sorry, let me say, do you know Garmin?
I don't know.
So Garmin's a watch.
Oh, yeah.
Like a running watch. Mm-hmm. And their slogan is to beat yesterday. So like, that's like my mentality. It's like, be better than you were yesterday.
That's great. Yeah. No, I always refer to the Nike, classic Nike, just do it, as like kind of the mantra for any newsletter yeah. creator too. It's like, that's, or just creator. You just gotta, you do it and you iterate. Just a couple more questions. One, yeah. So again, 4 years. What are the three most important things you've learned in the 4 years of doing this?
Okay, first thing is that there's always something to be learned. Like, you are never going to know everything. And if you write like you know everything, it's not going to be a good look. So I think like understanding that you're not going to know everything and being vulnerable to like what you don't know is like a great mindset and attitude to
Wait,
have.
Let me interject here quick, though. So I agree with that. But then I think the other podcast I was listening to with you, you said your brother had pushed you to say, like, instead of saying, I think blank, 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 just say like blank, 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 like be assertive. So it's almost like in conflict. I don't think it's actually in conflict. But like, how do you gel those two things? Like, this idea that you should be assertive and not like use hedging words. You should just state an opinion. But then like,
that's good.
We can be wrong.
No, yeah. And you have to admit when you're wrong. Mm-hmm. So the thing with that, with what my brother said, was that I guess it was more like writing advice versus like mm-hmm. a mentality advice. Because you also want to write like you want to be confident in how you're writing. And I was like, I think this is going to happen. It's like, just say like you predict X, Y, yeah. Z, or like you feel this, like be confident. And then if you're wrong, you're wrong. Someone will give you feedback and you say, thank you for that information. Like, perhaps I was wrong with saying this. And that happens all the time where I will say something with such conviction, and someone who's smarter than me will reach back out with like a long paragraph. And I'm like, you're right. You know more than me. I'm like, thank you for, now I learned. So that's number one, I guess, is to like understand you're not going to know everything mentality wise, but also like, you know, be confident when you write, because you're smarter than you seem. Second is like consistency is key. I think creating content is it's like working out. Like you need it's a muscle, and it's like muscle memory, right? So like if I go 2 weeks without like writing new content, if I'm just reusing content because I'm on vacation, like when I come back, like it's just muscle memory. But that comes with consistency. Like I've written every week since January of 2020, great, December of 2019, right? So persistency is key, or consistency is key. A lot of people say, well, you know, you should only write content when you have something to say, which sure, but I think in healthcare it's unique because there's always something to be said.
You should only go on a run when you feel like it.
Yeah, exactly. But this is why like I'm able to plan content quarters in advance. It's because there's something to be said about private equity in healthcare. There's something to be said about United Healthcare's dominance on the insurance market, right? There's always something to be said. And then third, I don't know, I think third would be like doing it for yourself versus like trying to do it just because like the creator space is like so big right now and like you want to be in there. There's a lot of like imposter syndrome doing Healthcare Huddle, right? Coming from like, at first I'm like, I'm just a medical student. Like who's going to listen to me? Right. And you learn to deal with it. But now I'm like, I'm only a resident. Who's going to listen to me? Right. But I'm doing it for myself at the end of the day. I'm trying to grow this like creating muscle. I'm trying to learn about the healthcare system. I'm trying to deliver value to others to help them understand the healthcare system. And so like keeping to these values and this mission of mine, like keep me on track and really help reduce the imposter syndrome and reduce the need to like impress others.
That's great.
Those are the three things.
No, those are great. One last thing about just the art of newslettering, as it were, whether it's like growth, audience engagement, whatever it is there any like one piece of advice you'd share specifically about the art of newslettering?
My brother Brett, he also has a newsletter on Beehive called Creator Economy NYC.
I checked it out.
It looks beautiful, the newsletter. It is beautifully designed. And back when we started Healthcare Huddle, Brett made the Instagram, made the logo. He made it look beautiful. He made it look professional, but with personality. And I think when designing a newsletter, and Beehive helps with this, but like talking about the art, like making it look good and pleasant on the eyes is truly like an art of like newsletter. It's like no one wants to see a low quality, like the content could be great, but a low quality, unorganized newsletter is so distasteful. Right now I'm getting into counting how many times I have to scroll, like move my thumb up and down to read my newsletter. Right now I think I'm averaging like 13.
You count the thumb swipes. That's amazing.
I count because it's something I put myself in like my reader shoes and I'm like, Jesus, I'm scrolling way too much. So now I'm trying to like figure out what sections I can make a little bit shorter. But it goes back to like the design of the newsletter. It's like you want to make it look appealing. There's other newsletters that I've been reading, like even like Tyler's newsletter
it's great.
It's like creative. It's very personality driven. You know, a lot of newsletters would be, they look good, but others who I've seen, I'm just like, you could do this differently. But yeah, you want to picture like your newsletter like a painting. Like you want it to just look presentable, easy on the eyes. You're capturing your reader's attention. So like take advantage of that and don't lose their attention because you know, the spacing between your first paragraph and second paragraph are too large, because the colors aren't meshing together, because you forgot a divider between two key sections. Yeah. Right? Like just make it well, look.
And if you're going to like take the effort to like design it, like don't half-ass it too. Like you need to like, cause that's, you could like kind of fall in the middle there, like that into the, trying to cross that bridge, you can get lost.
Yeah. It's like they came to you. So you need to bring like not perfection, but like it needs to look high quality. It needs to read high quality. You don't want people to be like, I want my readers to be thinking, but I don't want them to be thinking about why I said something or why I put something in one place versus the other.
You want them digesting, not chewing.
Exactly. Yeah. Digesting, not chewing. And again, something I said at the beginning, which my brother Brett used to yell at me for, like part-time effort is part-time results. So yeah. If you half-ass your newsletter design, if you half-ass your content, expect half-ass results.
Yeah. And your readers are going to think you're an ass. It's time for the Jared plug. Where should people find you?
healthcarehuddle.com.
This has been episode 8 of the Creator Spotlight Podcast. Thank you, Jared, for joining me. Thank you, listener, for sticking around to the end. And if you enjoyed it, it would mean a lot if you rated us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. I'll see you next week.